I started my day by listening to the latest World Football phone-in with Paul Saras talking about his experiences thus far in Brazil. His story about booking a reservation in a hotel that didn't actually exist was priceless. Tim Vickery also walked listeners through the status of most of the stadiums, whether they were new or refurbished, and what teams might play in them after the World Cup. One listener suggested that a select team of players who didn't make the World Cup be entered into the competition. This will allow Ibrahimovic and Bale and Vidic and others a chance at glory. Imagine that concept in the past. George Best, Ryan Giggs, George Weah. These players never got a shot at the world's biggest competition. The discussion led me to start thinking about the best 11 never to play at a World Cup. Something for the rainy day to-do list. Anyway, this sort of idea is never going to happen, but interesting nonetheless. Day 5 of the World Cup kicked off in Group G with two European powers in Germany and Portugal. An error-strewn opening minute set the stage for a penalty decision. Müller converted the penalty, and Hummels doubled the lead with the Germans in total control. Then Pepe got sent off after an altercation with Müller, who scored again just before halftime. The announcer for ESPN said that maybe Portugal was just having a bad day. No, just Portugal being Portugal, frustrating in the final third, and Pepe having a moment of madness. Germany definitely took it easy in the second half, with Ronaldo pouting and drilling free kicks into the wall until his vicious strike towards the end of the match. Müller added a third 10 minutes from time, and my pick for him as the golden boot is looking good. The story of the second half was probably the injuries, with Hugo Almeida going off in the first half and Contrao and Hummel struggling in the second. Germany is well on their way to this next round with some quite dynamic moments in the first half. The question is, what will Portugal look like against the United States? The Portuguese will be weaker, but they still have a lot of talent on the field. One positive from the game might have been the performance of Adair. He attacked the ball in the air and did well holding the ball up top. The next match was Iran-Nigeria, and the beginning of the match was rough. Iran kept playing long balls with no success, while Nigeria tried to pass their way through an organized Iranian defense. The first 45 minutes was light on action, the most disappointing section of the tournament so far. I missed the second half getting ready for the U.S. game, and in the end, not much to say about this game. The first draw, the first scoreless game, and really the worst game of the tournament thus far. Iran will be happy with the point, and the Nigerians are now up against it if they want to get out of the group, which is what I predicted. The crowd started filing in early at Pepino's for the U.S. game, and by kickoff, the room reserved at the bar was completely packed. I was able to say hi to a couple of people before the game, and it was find your spot and not move. Cedric started the I Believe chant. We barely finished when Dempsey slashed through the Ghanaian defense and scored. Pandemonium! Instead of the slow starts we had been accustomed to, the Americans had struck first. As the men in Blazers have been preaching, maybe they scored too early. And maybe they had. The later the game went on, the dicier it got. Beasley was being isolated, the U.S. possession dropped to nothing, and it was only a matter of time. Yet with 20 minutes to go, it seemed as if Ghana would not have enough to craft a goal. And then it struck. Johnson lost his marker, and AU hit a fantastic inside-out shot to beat Howard. Heads and hands time. The momentum was with the Africans, and the door that had been opened by the Portuguese early in the day was quickly slamming shut. And then yet another twist in the story. Zuzi whipped in a corner, and Brooks, on for Beasler, headed down and away from the Ghana goalkeeper. Cue the pandemonium again. What a turnaround as the United States secured 3 points in the opening match for the first time since 2002, and now look poised to advance. I stood in the parking lot for 10 minutes after my over 30 game on Sunday discussing the Donovan situation. Basically, my position was that each game was going to come down in the last 20 minutes and Klinsmann would look at his bench, and instead of seeing Donovan would see Davis, Diskerud, Bedoya, or Zuzi. Some options better than others, but none the most prolific and experienced goal scorer for the United States. In the end, Klinsmann was hanging his hat on this decision and would live or die by it. So far, he's L-I-V-I-N. Looking at the players that Klinsmann did take to the tournament, there is some real concern on the injury front. Altidore is probably done and Beasler's status is uncertain, both sustaining hamstring injuries. Dempsey suffered a broken nose and will probably have to wear a mask. Tactically, there was a lot of talk about the diamond formation. It's hard for me to judge. Sam Thompson identified a 4-2-3-1 with a double pivot of Bradley and Beckerman. For me, Beckerman definitely sat in and got pulled to Beasley's side as the Ghanaians tried to overwhelm him. I admit that I don't watch a ton of the United States, but Bradley did not have his best game, and they really needed his composure to possess the ball. The combination of a lack of possession and seeing too deep invited the African team on the Americans, and it really only was a matter of time before they scored. A couple of other notes, Jermaine Jones did enough. I'm not his biggest fan, but he did well in his quasi-left mid-role. Beasley coped, but I imagine the whole world saw what CONCACAF already knew, attack his side. Johansson came in for the injured Altidore and struggled. Part of it was the game situation, i.e. defend, 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 but it showed they may not be physically strong enough at this level. In summary, the match was 1 minute of ecstasy, followed by 85 minutes of gut-wrenching agony, followed by another minute of sheer delight, followed by 7 minutes of nail-biting. 3 points, that's all that matters. Except for my World Cup predictor, which has been officially blown to hell. Enough about the game, let's talk about the crowd. Pepino's was bursting. The temperature in our room had to be 85 plus with ridiculous humidity as we tried to recreate the playing conditions in Brazil. Almost everyone had some sort of US garb, jerseys, hats, bandanas, beads, flags, ridiculous underwear. There was a great energy in the room and lots of excitement and tension throughout. It was awesome to see a group come together in support of the United States men's national team and soccer. Finally, a confession. I have to admit the US Bomb Pop uniforms are actually growing on me. Really, it's a red kit with large blue trim. Maybe some sort of patriotism in light of their performance is creeping in, but the strip is not nearly as bad as I first thought. I'm still upset about the move to a royal blue instead of the navy blue of the US flag, but Nike has to do something. I've seen a lot of the tennis shirt home kit over the last couple days, and I don't think I'm going to come around on that one. Okay, confession over. Today sees hipster choice Belgium take the field against Algeria, then Brazil looks to book a place in the round 16 against Mexico, and the day wraps up with Russia against South Korea. Before I wrap up, just a plug for my blog and podcast. My blog is soccernomad.wordpress.com, and I post about kits, books, soccer memories, and more. My regular podcast can be found at austinlong1974.podomag.com or on iTunes. As always, hit me up on Twitter at austinlong1974. Ta-ta!